It's boring to go alone, so take this podcast from Radio 1 91 FM.
Well, to celebrate Tourette's Awareness Week, we are joined in the studio by Mads Harrop, who is a prolific local musician, mixer, engineer, student, and many more things, and producer. You're a person of many hats, Mads. Welcome to the studio. Thank you so much for coming here to Radio 1 to tell us about your journey with Tourette's. So, first of all, do you mind telling us who you are, where you're from, what your story is, and a little bit about your diagnosis with Tourette's?
Yeah, sure thing. Kia ora, Dave. Kia ora, everyone. Ko Mads toku ignoa, ko Harrop toku ignoa whānau, and I'm here today to talk about Tourette syndrome. And I have just finished my Bachelor of Music with honours in Austin Composition and Music Production, and in June this year, I'm starting my Master's in Music Production.
Awesome. That's very exciting. I think studying music must be so difficult, but you've been a musician your whole life, right? So you must have been looking forward to doing this for a long time.
Oh, yes, I have. I have really, really enjoyed it, and especially, I decided to become a sound engineer because, I decided I wanted to get into sound engineering as well and get a career out of it, and producing as well as continuing with a musician, because I just love the whole vibe of being in a studio and being able to like play around with all the different equipment and the plugins. It's just super, super cool. And I love especially about putting plugins on things, it's like turning on and effects pedals on guitars. It's so fascinating. It changes the sound instantly, and it's just so satisfying when you get the final mix done. And also, I just love working with other musicians, and it's just great fun.
Awesome. Now, for many people probably won't know this, but you've been surrounded by music your whole life. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your upbringing and why music is so important to you?
My dad, Steve Harrop, he's a musician, and he played bass for the Kiwi band Straw People on a couple of their tracks. So he played bass, I think it was on Trick with a Knife and Taller Than God. And he also wrote and played the bass line and recorded the bass line for their song Sweet Disorder, one of their most famous songs. I think, it's a really good song.
So having a father that's just, he lives and breathes music, and that probably led to you loving music, right?
It did, actually, and it's just super cool because Dad's always telling me about all these great bands, and it's always really good because I always like to, whenever I write a new song, I always like to show the lyrics and stuff like that to him just to get his opinion, and basically I just ask him to proofread to check that the lyrics are cohesive and they make sense and that they work, and same with the chord progressions too, And also, it's... Also, in relation to that, the cover art to my single Harmonize, which was released last year, that was actually based off of a really old picture of my dad playing bass to me when I was a little toddler. And I'm sitting up there looking. So it's quite funny. So this was when my mum and dad were still in France with me, and my dad used to play his double bass everywhere, and I used to just sit there and watch him play, and I think if I remember correctly, I used to put my hand on the bass or something, and I'd just be like the big bass.
I love that. I love the Harmonize song, and I want to get back to your songwriting, but let's just circle back because as we are doing this for Tourette's Awareness Week, can you tell us about when you got diagnosed with Tourette's?
Yeah, when I first found out I got Tourette's, I remember finding out the news as I was walking down in the stairs of the hospital with my mum. And when I first found that out, I was very upset. I was devastated because before I got it, I knew what Tourette's was because I'd heard about it before, and I'd heard people that have it just talk about how it can be very challenging, and I was like, I don't want to get that, but I got it, and I just had to learn ways and how I can manage it, and here I am just rolling with the punches.
When was this that you got diagnosed?
So it was the 30th of April 2019, so it was almost 5 years ago, but when it comes around to each anniversary that I got Tourette's, I never celebrate it because it's just not something I want to celebrate.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty... When I first started getting tics, they were so violent and very full on, and I had to go... My GP referred me to a neurologist. I had to see two doctors, and the second GP that I saw referred me to a neurologist at the hospital here, and I had to get a whole bunch of tests and whatnot done, medicals done, and an MRI of my brain, just because we all didn't know what was going on. We thought it was something like much worse than Tourette's, which thankfully it wasn't, but yeah. Still, Tourette's, you know, presents its own challenges. And especially, you know, when I'm out in public, there are situations where I have to explain myself to other people. That isn't always fun. But these days I just try as much as I can, like, unless we're doing radio interviews or, like, talking about my things that I wrote about my Tourette's, I generally just try to, like, ignore my tics as much as possible. And I used to pay attention to, like, when people would stare, I used to pay attention, but I don't pay attention to people staring. It's just, yeah, and I do get the odd reaction. I don't mind people asking me if I'm okay, but, like, if I exhibit coprolalia, which is the swearing tic out in public, and people do react, like, if they do tell me to stop saying that, or to, like, you know, watch your language, or... something like that, or usually tell me to keep it down. That's when I get a little bit annoyed, and I explain to people that I have Tourette's and I can't help it.
Yeah,
you know? and then I apologize.
Which you shouldn't have to apologize for something like that. What would you prefer that people did? Do you prefer that they ignore your tics?
Yeah. So once people know I have Tourette's, I guess it's just ignoring my tics. It's nice to. You know, when people, especially my friends and whatnot, they reach out to me and they ask me how I'm doing and stuff like that. But yeah, I just prefer like not to be asked about my tics. I mean, unless I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Now, so we've been Tourette's Awareness Week. What do you think people is one of the biggest misconceptions, or what is something that you wish people knew? Like, what is the greatest thing about Tourette's that you want people to know about?
Yeah, so the biggest misconception about Tourette's is that people think it's just swearing, often how it's portrayed in the media, but I want people to know that it's not always like that. Like, people who have Tourette's can also get motor tics as well, and tics was like where gesture tics as well, stuff like that. You know what I mean by that, eh?
Yeah.
Especially the obscene ones as well. And coprolalia, the swearing tic, that only affects around 10% of the population with Tourette's, which unfortunately I'm part of. But yeah, I guess probably my biggest piece of advice for all the listeners out there, if you ever come across someone with Tourette's, is just be kind to them, and because it's very stressful for us, and you know. Yeah, please remember that with our tics, they are completely involuntary, so we cannot control them, and we don't get to choose what to do. Like, we don't get to choose our tics, and we don't get to choose what time of day they come and how loud they can be, and they can come without warning.
Well said. Before we got into the studio, you were telling me about something that was a shock to me, that Tourette's syndrome isn't recognised by the New Zealand government as a disability.
Yeah, it is. It does make things a little bit more difficult. And because it's not recognised, that means we can't get access to any government-funded support. Like, I can only get access to government-funded... We can only get access to government-funded support for other disabilities. But yeah, I think if we could get it recognised, that would be really good. And I felt so strongly about it to the point where I actually wrote a protest song about it called Enough is Enough, and that's going to be going on my upcoming album this year. So yeah, hopefully that'll get people more aware about the issue.
Mm, and that's where it starts, right? More people aware, more people letting the government know. What can people do to help out with this, help out with letting the government become more aware?
I guess just spread the word about it. And if you see a petition going about it going around, like from the Tourette's Association, from the Tourette's Association of New Zealand, yeah, and if you see people sharing any posts about it from anyone relevant, I guess just spread the word and stuff like that.
Now, you mentioned one association just then. Where can people go for more resources about Tourette's, or whether?
I guess there are Facebook groups. Like there's the Tourette's New Zealand Association of New Zealand Facebook group, and also if any of you listeners to know more about stories about people with Tourette's, there's quite a few YouTube videos about it, and there's also this podcast called the Tourette's Podcast, and that is a very cool it's a very good podcast, and I used to listen to the guy Ben Brown is the host. He has Tourette's as well, and he hosts it, and he had you
on the podcast, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was really good. It was, yeah.
So he talks for each episode that he does. He talks to someone different with Tourette's, and they've all got so many interesting stories and so many different backgrounds and industries. It's really cool, and it's a really fascinating podcast to listen to, and it can be really helpful to give you listeners out there a really good insight about what exactly goes on in our what it's like.
Yeah. Now, I think you are an excellent songwriter, Mads, and I think part of why you're such an excellent songwriter, you're a really good storyteller, that you make it really, really clear your emotions that come through the song. And I think particularly in your 2023 song Harmonize, you sort of, I don't know, the way you create a narrative is so, so clear. So has your love of music and your reliance on music in your day-to-day life, has that helped when you spread the word about Tourette's and bring awareness to Tourette's?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I remember actually one of my songs that's already released, it's called Lost for Words, and that was actually written about two pretty terrible experiences I had with my Tourette syndrome, and it was both with me getting on the bus and the bus driver's not really being very aware, and they like, first situation where it happened was when I was getting on the bus back to Dunedin to go back to uni, and it was the first time I'd ever been told off for ticking upsetting, and so I was about to board the bus, and then I had the swearing tick, and the bus driver was like, "Who's swearing?" And then I was like, "Oh, it's me, I have Tourette's." And then he was like, "None of that, eh?" And then me and my mum were both there, and my mum explained. But as soon as I explained to the bus driver, he was cool with it. But I was still pretty upset because, you know, we were both. I was a little bit worried that I might get kicked off the bus.
Yeah.
He was pretty understanding. And then the second time it happened was actually 5 days later when I took the bus back home again and was at the bus stop, and there was a bus there, and the bus driver, he was like about 10 metres away from me, was dealing with some passengers, and I had the swearing tick. He just turned around towards me and he said, "Hey, we don't need to hear any of that, keep it to yourself." I said, I can't help it, I have Tourette's. And then he was like, "Okay." But yeah, I was still pretty humiliated by the whole experience. And I remember I went home that week, and I remember I went to my room and I was just bawling my eyes out. I was just really upset, and I just felt, you know, so knocked around by what had happened. But then that's the moment when I picked up the guitar and Lost for Words was born.
Yeah.
A couple of hours later, and I just sat in my room writing it. So that's, for me, that's just, I find beauty in those sorts of things. Like, the great thing about songwriting and about art in general is that you can go through negative experiences like that and turn them into works of art that people will enjoy.
And I feel like for you in particular, it's incredible to use those negative experiences and find this silver lining and make this beautiful thing out of it. The fact that other people will listen to those songs and hear your story and be able, I don't know, find solace or find therapeutic relief in that as well.
That's amazing to me, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus, yeah, because Lost for Words is quite a sad sort of song for me. It's, people can listen to it and they can, like, it makes them feel sad about it. They say it's sad about certain situations and in their own little way, and that for me is really beautiful as well. And like when I'm performing it live, like especially with my vocals, I always like try to use singing techniques that sound kind of raw, like sort of and with my facial expressions too, it's also really important to me. Yeah, and I remember there was this one really amazing moment where I played Lost for Words live and I was on the verge of crying because I could hear people in the audience singing it back to me, and that was just so beautiful.
Oh, that's so
moved by that.
Amazing. That's really powerful. Now, you mentioned earlier you've got an album coming out this year, which is so exciting. Always love hearing about new music from you, Mads. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that album? When can we expect it, and what sort of subject matters do you touch on in that?
I'm not super duper sure when it'll get released, but I know it'll get released this year. The reason why I'm saying I'm not sure, it'll be later this year, because I'm still getting the finishing touches done to most of the songs, and then I've written a couple of new songs which I'm yet to record and to edit and mix, and then send it away to the wonderful sound engineer at Sublime, Tom Havard. Shout out, Tom.
And for listeners who aren't aware, Sublime Studios is the studios that Mads's father Steve runs, and you work largely from Sublime as well, don't you?
Yeah, and Sublime Studios actually, he was what stemmed my inspiration to become a sound engineer. Like, and I remember it all kind of, for me, it all kind of started when I got into the finals of Play It Strange, and I recorded my songs to go on the album. I think it started with Medicine, and then Cheeky was released in the year after that in the finals. And I used to sit there in the background after I'd finish recording for the day, and I'd kind of watch with fascination. I'd like watch what Dad and Tom would do during post-production, and I often used to sit in on sessions where I wasn't recording but someone else would be, and I'd just sit there and watch. I'd just observe, and then I'd ask Tom like certain questions, like about the desk or a piece of outboard gear or something, like what happens if I push this button, what does this knob do, stuff like that. And it was all I was very, very curious about it, which led me to study both in composition and in music production, and now I'm going on to do masters in music production in June, which is just incredible.
Very exciting. You're unstoppable, Mads. So once the masters is completed, which I know is a big goal and we can't get it too far ahead of ourselves yet, but what's your dream once you've completed that? Where do you want to find yourself once you're in the workforce as a sound engineer?
Well, I want to engineer and produce other people, as well as continuing doing so with my own stuff and writing songs as well. And I'd love to do some more collaborative songwriting as well.
Well, it's so great to see you've found you've got a passion that you can so readily access, and it's amazing. Now, I guess, to be honest, you've covered so much. This is the easiest podcast to do because you answer each question with great detail. Now, is there, from here, as we're in Tourette's Awareness Week, what would you ask of people to do? What do you think is the most supportive thing that people can do to bring awareness to Tourette's?
I guess just be really kind, and you know, like I said before, because just bear in mind that it's not just Tourette syndrome isn't just swearing, and you know, if you have a friend with Tourette's, you know, be there for them and make sure to stick up for them, you know, because that's how you can be a really good supportive friend. And you know, especially if you see them in a little bit of a difficult situation where they have to explain themselves or whatnot, if someone, like, even if someone teases them or mocks them, which is ableist, you know, make sure to call it out, you know. Just,
yeah, do you think if people have friends or acquaintances with Tourette's, to ask them about their experiences and ask them what they can do to help and what they can do
you can ask them what they can do to help, and you can ask them if you're going out somewhere, you can maybe, if they prefer to find a quiet spot where they can or something, yeah, make sure you, like, I don't know, ask them, go with them. And if they're feeling a bit stressed or something like that about their tics. You know, make sure they're okay, and you know, ask them if they need a hug or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, wonderful. Meds, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. It's awesome to hear you be so open talking about this and help explain it to people who might not know about it. Bring awareness to Tourette's, because it's really important. If we can make Tourette's become a recognized disability, if the New Zealand government can recognize that, that will help so, so many people. So thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. We really appreciate it.
You've chosen the Radio 1 91 FM podcast, a fine choice indeed. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz and wherever quality podcasts hang out.